Good morning. How's everyone doing this fine day? Hope doing well. Doing well. Let's open with a word of prayer. One second. I hear my headphones on. Okay. I have trouble listening to myself. I don't know how people can do those monitor things. I would have trouble listening to myself. Anyways, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this time. Get to look into your word. Help us to understand what we're reading. Help me to understand and be able to maybe relay some interesting things that I found in my studies and that they are true and faithful to you. Lord, as we're thinking about Chuck is leaving for a trip to go visit his dad, and also that he has safe travels and that he can be get have a nice visit with his dad and that all things will go well. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Yeah, so a lament for Tyre. Like I said, I was talking about yesterday is that Tyre is a as a do a quick review of Tyre here. I should have brought up a bigger map first. I don't think I got one. I got one in here somewhere. If you look on this map here, up in that darker blue area near the top of this map, where you see Phoenician states, this area was actually called Phoenicia. And so when you see that term in the Bible too, that you can see what they're talking about. But right there in the middle is one called Tyre, and that's what we're talking about. It's a seaport along the coast here, along with Sidon and his her sister city, they call it. And the name Beirut may be familiar to you now because that was a city that's still in existence. Well, Tyre is still there too. It's actually the country of Lebanon now. And Beirut is where that they had that big explosion recently. That'll give you an idea what we're talking about. So some other pictures to kind of we're going to be talking about this time that we went over yesterday. So during this time frame, this is 332 BC, this picture here, Alexander had ended up building a land bridge to Tyre. During the Babylonian captivity, Babylonian destruction, Nebuchadnezzar's troops took out old Tyre, we see it seeing here mentioned. And what the inhabitants did is they took advantage of the fact that this island was out here. And actually escaped to the island and built their city out there and lived there for another 300 years. Well, right now, a couple hundred years. Because right now we're at 587 BC, and this siege of Tyre was in 332 BC. So you can see from Nebuchadnezzar until Alexander that they lived quite well out there in Tyre. But a lot of what we're going to be talking about today kind of gives us an idea. Get some other pictures here. This is what that island fortress may have looked like during that time frame. The ruins, it's ruins now. And this is an actual satellite picture of the area. And that land bridge used to be just this thin little thing across here that Alexander used to attack Tyre and seize it. But now, because of sediments and stuff flowing along the Mediterranean, it's actually turned into almost an island. I mean a peninsula. So this is what it looks like now. There's a fishing village out there, but it doesn't have the grandeur that it once had. Here's some older maps of the area. I get my picture out of the way. And you can see that this would be 322 BC, this map here. Kind of shows if you can see it, there's a little bit of a land bridge right there. This is just after which we call it Alexander captured the city. And this is what it looked like in 1873. Kind of give you a nice comparison. So you can see that the sediments really grew compared to what it was when Alexander took over. And that is a shell. I'll show it. When I get to it, I'll actually bring it up again. So let's get into the scripture. Get rid of my double picture. It takes 15 to 15, forgetting to do. So one thing about Tyre, and we're going to kind of see through today's teaching, I'm only going to take half the chapter at one time. My voice really gives out after a half hour. So more than a half hour and I'm pushing it. But so things like I found out about Tyre that kind of made me interesting is that this particular chapter kind of relates Tyre to being like a luxury ship. And it kind of compares it to what a luxury ship would look like, because the Tyre was a very pristine, very rich city in its time. And so when Ezekiel was describing it, he described it like a ship. And all I could think about was the Titanic, and how that the Titanic was one of the, was a gorgeous looking ship. If you've ever seen some of the pictures, I meant to try to get some pictures, but I think you know what I mean. If anyone's been around long enough, you've probably seen a picture of the Titanic and some of the fancy wooden decks and all the fancy chandeliers. That's kind of the impression that this is going to give us about Tyre, and how that in a moment, in an hour, that Tyre fell. And basically the same thing happened to Titanic. Did it fell? But the other thing I never realized, you know, I've said it before, that I think prophecy is also pattern. And in the Bible, almost any major doctrine or any major event is symbolized at least two or three places in the Bible by a pattern. And I'm realizing more and more, particularly this particular chapter, how it reflects the fall of the mystery Babylon in Revelation. So I'm actually going to read a portion of Revelation 18 is what I'm talking about. And so you can kind of see what I'm talking about as we go through these verses. That's probably why I broke it up, because I'm going to read about 10 verses or so out of Revelation. But kind of be thinking about these verses in the back of your mind while we go through the rest of these verses. So starting in Revelation 18:8. And the lead up to this is that the chapter talks about the destruction of a city. And we don't know exactly where the city is. There's a lot of speculation that it could either be Babylon, the original Babylon on the Euphrates River. But after you see this passage, it's kind of hard to envision the ships offshore seeing it burn and being concerned about it. And then there's all, most people think it's Rome. And Rome, you could actually see it from the ocean. So that's the best possibility that we've got so far. But there's others out there that speculate it might be New York. But you know, after reading this chapter, I can almost, I got a strange feeling that it could be Tyre. and that's, I couldn't help but think that as I was reading through this. So let's read through Revelation here. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourn and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when she shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones of pearls and fine linen, purple and silk, and scarlet, and all thine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, of iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments of frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that the soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, which stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, or in purple, scarlet. Pay attention to that word purple. That's where that shell comes in. Scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour So greater riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What sea is like unto the great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city, wherein we made riches, all that have ships in the sea, by reason of her coastlineness, for in 1 hour she was made desolate. Okay. I realize that this hasn't happened yet. This is in Revelation 18. It's towards the end of the tribulation. This is something that in the future, at least 6 years in the future. I don't know exactly when in the tribulation it happens, but it's towards the end. So back to Ezekiel 587, 89, 589 BC, and verse 2. Ezekiel 27, 2. Son of man, because that Tyrus has set against Jerusalem, she is broken. That was the gates of the people. She has turned unto me. I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. Excuse me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will stop many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes its waves to come up, and shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. By the way, those are the verses from that we talked about yesterday. That was Ezekiel 26, 2 through 4. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. Let me refresh that again. This is not verse 27. So that was what we talked about yesterday. And the reason I stuck that in there was that the Tyre will not be rebuilt is why the reason I put it in there. You see here at the end where it says, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. Basically, one thing I found about Tyre is it's a city more or less built on rock. And when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it, he destroyed it so well that it was like all that was left was rock and there was no dirt left. And so that's kind of the idea you get with that verse. But back to chapter 27. Okay, verse time in verse 2. Now, thou son of man, take up a lamentation with Tyrus. And over in Ezekiel 28:11, just started to confirm this about lamentation for Tyrus. In chapter 28, we'll talk about it again. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is 11 and 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. I stuck that in there just to indicate that even God mentioned that this particular city had had built up to a beautiful, desirable place. Back to Ezekiel 27:3. And say unto O Tyrus, O thou art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles. Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Talking about beauty over in Isaiah 13:19. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' excellency shall be when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. So another indication that that Babylon is going to achieve the same issue as Tyre when it comes to being destroyed. Interesting parallel. And it goes all to, again, to that pattern we see in Revelation. Get back to Ezekiel 27:4. The borders are in the midst of the seas. The builders have perfect thy beauty. They have made all their ship boards of fir, trees of sinar. They have taken cedar. This is the part that he's comparing it like to a ship. But he's talking about a city. They have made all thy ship boards of fir, trees of sinar. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made their oars, and the company of the Asherites have made the benches of ivory brought out of the isles of Chittim. And I thought I'd point out a few things about the oaks over in Isaiah 2. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. As upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan. Kind of an indication of what they symbolize by the oaks. I just want to point out, too, that we're going through this, that this particular port probably had almost everything of the known world shipped to it to distribute to other parts of the world. Okay, back to Ezekiel 27:7. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail, blue and purple from the isles of Eli, which was that which covered thee. Notice it says from the Isle of Eli. That's an island off the shore where they collected these particular shells. This particular that I was showing you before, this is what it looks like. And it's still made today, believe it or not. It's what they use to make a very fine purple color. And it's very, very expensive because to make one particular outfit, it can take about 20,000 of these to make it. And it so that's why it's very expensive. So that's one of the reasons that purple has always been kind of associated with royalty or somebody who's very wealthy, because it's not. But Tyre was known for production of this, and that's what it got its riches from. So that's part of the reason that that Tyre has been was known, became very wealthy, is because they were able to make this particular dye, the purple dye, that was one, you know, much in demand, particularly in royalty, but it was very expensive. So it mentions there the purple from the Isle. The Isle is an island nearby there, I think. So I know that they actually produced the actual dye in Tyre. Ezekiel 27:8. The inhabitants of Zidon and Avid were their mariners. The wise men of Tyrus, they were, and thee were thy pilots. And you notice the word pilots there. Pilots is just another word for like a like the person, the ship captain, somebody who's actually driving the boat. And he's the one that usually is crying out. That's why it says, another verse we get to is going to talk about the crying out of the pilots. And that that's indicative of a shipboard captain when he's crying out orders. And it's kind of neat to hear. Have you ever heard of an old sailing ship? They actually turn them into rhymes that people got used to, so that, you know, it's very noisy and windy, and during a storm, everything was done by word of mouth. So it was important that everybody got the right commands. So they made up these rhymes, and a lot of those rhymes were very common. As even one in the Bible talked about when Paul, and I think I even made reference to it here shortly, was shipwrecked off the coast of Africa, that they, that makes mention of it. So we know that Luke, when he was talking about it, it was very accurate navy or ship type talk that Luke was using. Okay. And also talking about wise men over in 1 Kings 9:27. And Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon. So that, it's just talking about what they mean by wise men. Wise men are shipboard servants. Ezekiel 27:9. mariner, in that verse, mariners were oarsmen. That was another picture I was going to show you. This is a typical ship, naval ship of that time frame. And besides the sail, and we heard it mention the sail, the fine silk that was used to make the sails, the whole big industry of the sail, the silk industry, you might have heard of the silk trails. Most of the silk came out of China area or India. So a lot of the sails are made of silk because they're very strong, very durable. But the oarsmen, the mariners here mentioned these oarsmen, and they would actually be on board ship. And they weren't necessarily used all the time, but in heavy battle where they needed more speed, they would use them. And it also when there was no wind, they would use them. So, and as mentioned, mariners there, they're talking about oarsmen. Okay. Also in Psalms 83:7, Gibeon and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines were the inhabitants of Tyre. What this is basically saying is that particularly in this area, it wasn't uncommon for these ships to be a collection of people from different places. And so that because it was in like what they call an international city, you would have a lot of different people that were inhabitants of Tyre from all different areas. But this is also the 83rd Psalm is kind of an interesting psalm. It has a little bit of a background to it. You probably heard people talk about the war of Psalm 83. I think it already happened in 1948. But if you read the whole psalm, it talks about a battle of the cities surrounding Jerusalem and how they attack Jerusalem to take away the name of Jerusalem. And I think it happened on Independence Day in 1948, but some say it hasn't happened yet. It's in the future, in case you ever hear that. Maybe I'll do a talk on that someday. But back to Ezekiel 27:10. They of Persia and of Lud and of Phut were in thine army, the men of war. They hang their shields and helmet in thee. They set forth their comeliness. And this is what I was just talking about, that the men of war in this area, probably in today's terminology, we would use the word mercenaries. But they were basically people necessarily from that country that volunteered for payment, you know, for money to be in their army. So this is kind of commenting about some of the countries that they were from. 27:11, the men of Arvid, where thine army were upon the walls round about, and the Gamaliadens were in thy towers. They hang their shields upon the walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. Tarshish was a merchant by reason of the multitude of all kind of riches, with silver, iron, tin, and lead, and they traded in thy fairs. It's an interesting term because of different different places that all this different stuff comes from. This is what I was talking about in Revelations. I'm thinking now that you may not see the part I saw in Revelations until tomorrow, but we'll see. But talking about Tarshish, Tarshish, I really don't know. There's a lot of theories on where Tarshish is. I read one today that I thought was really interesting. It kind of points it to the southern end of Spain. Now, remember it was talked about in Jonah, that Jonah was boarded a ship going to Tarshish. And I've also heard Britain, and that's not out of there either, because Britain's name actually means tin. It's a source of tin. That was what Britain was well known for. So Tarshish could have been an old name for that also. But it's interesting, they gave quite an interesting talk on how Tarshish was actually a word. I think I bring it up. It'll probably end up being tomorrow's lesson. Oh no, it'll be today. Yeah, I'll get to it today. So I'll leave that for then. But in Genesis 10:4, it mentions that Tarshish has been around. I just thought I'd point out since Noah's day. Tarshish, the name, is actually one of the grandsons of Noah. Back in the list of nations, which is chapter 10 of Genesis. Of course, Noah had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay, and the sons of Japheth were Gomer and Magog, and Midel, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer are Ajak. Anyways, we get down to the sons of Javan. The sons of Javan would be under Japheth, which was the son of Noah. So this would be the great grandson of Noah, named Tarshish. So that's where the name originated from. Thought you might find that interesting. Also in 2 Chronicles 20:36, and he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. So this confirms that ships did go to Tarshish. And they made their ships in Ezel-Geber. And this was a shipbuilding town that was on the Black Sea. And so some people think that that could be where the ship came from, or maybe Tarshish might have been, but it's a long shot that it was on the Black Sea. But this is just where the ship originated from. A lot of times where it was built was how it got its name. Also in Ezekiel 38:13, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof. It's a very interesting verse. I know people have taken that little term there because some people want to say Tarshish is Britain. And it says with all the young lions thereof. And some like to attach that to some of the offshoots of Britain, which would include us here in the United States. I've seen both ways, because some people say that USA is not mentioned in the Bible. Some people like to point to this verse to kind of indicate this is a hint of pointing to us. But if Tarshish is actually from Spain, then maybe this wouldn't work out as well. So it's not definitive. Shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gotten the company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take great spoil? I threw that in there. This is a chapter coming up in Ezekiel, but it's talking a little bit more about the relationship of the wealth that was in that area. Ezekiel 27:13. Jovan, Tubal, and Meshach, they were the merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. So again, another group of countries. And these same names go back to Noah's time. So these are all well-established names all down through history. Oh, and talking about persons there, where it mentions persons. Persons of men, I found some interesting verses over in Joel 3:3-6. And the persons of men here is actually slaves, is what it is. And so I thought I'd point to Joel here to kind of indicate where, to confirm that. They have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and a sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? If ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my godly pleasant things. The children also of Judea and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Now this stems back to the period of time that the northern kingdom was taken over. That was about 700 BC, and that the Assyrians took over the northern kingdom. And what the Assyrians normally did when they captured an area is rather than kill everybody or take everybody back to their homeland as slaves, they would divide them up in the different countries. So this gives us a little indication here that some of those were sold through Tyre, were taken by ship to other places as slaves. So I thought that was interesting to see there, a correlation between some of the slave market is something that's happened all through history. Back to Ezekiel 27:14. They of thy house of Tugamah traded in their fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. Again, more stuff that they're trading in this area. And this name here, again, Togarmah, goes all the way back to the list of nations in Genesis. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkede, Ragavi, and Togomar. So again, this would be now this would be a grandson, I think. No, great grandson again of Noah. The name of this area. So Ezekiel 27:15. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were their merchants of thine hand. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. So commenting about this verse and talking about the Dedan over in Genesis 10:7, again, another name that came out of Noah. You see it here, and the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah, Sabaoth and Raamai and Sabetichah, and the sons of Raamai, Sheba and Dedan. I know those also equate to an area basically of Saudi Arabia. So over in First Kings, talking about ivory, this is starting to get into what the correlation between that turn that thing in correlation and revelation and this story here. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. And this correlates so well with Revelation 18:12 that we already read. I'll just review it here real quick. The merchants of gold and silver, precious stones of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and wood, and all manner vessels of ivory and all the manner vessels of most precious wood, of brass, iron, and marble. So, and we're going to see another reference. But that's where I'm going to stop today. Yep, I'm at my 30-minute mark. And we will finish this chapter tomorrow. Actually, no, tomorrow's Saturday. So Monday, we'll get back into this chapter. And so I'll end with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word. Thank you for the thought-provoking way that you set up the Bible, that you gave us these patterns to look for also, and that you can help us to see the patterns of the Bible to help confirm the Bible and help us to see that your divine hand was on them. And I give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I will talk to you again tomorrow, Monday, and I hope everybody has a great day. And we'll see you on Sunday, hopefully. And well, you see me on the TV screen, maybe. But I will see you all then. Have a great day.